Since ending its offensive in the West Bank last month, the Israeli army has remained poised on the outskirts of major Palestinian towns, launching frequent incursions in search of suspected terrorists. Israel has also further tightened travel restrictions on Palestinians, making it increasingly difficult for them to move within the West Bank and into Israel. NPR's Ivan Watson reports.
At 6:30 on Sunday morning, Ahmed Shaban says goodbye to his fellow security guards at Makassid Hospital in East Jerusalem and climbs into a waiting taxi van. Shaban's headed home to the village of Sinjal in the West Bank. It's about 20 miles from East Jerusalem as the crow flies. Up until 2 years ago, Shaban made the daily commute in under half an hour driving his own car. Today, however, this will be just the first leg in Shaban's long journey home. 15 minutes later, Shaban boards a second bus, and just before reaching a checkpoint that's manned by Israeli soldiers, the bus makes a sharp turn off the main road into the Anata refugee camp. Here, Shaban gets out and jumps into the third taxi of the morning. When the Palestinian uprising broke out, the Israelis banned West Bank Palestinians from entering Jerusalem. After working in the Holy City for nearly a decade, Shaban now has to sneak in and out of Jerusalem to make a living. The trip's so long and risky that Shaban spends half his week living in Jerusalem, working double shifts back to back. He hasn't been home to see his family in 4 days. Shaban's cab soon stops at the Kalandia checkpoint outside Ramallah, where he boards a fourth taxi. It's full of passengers like Mustafa, who also have to make long detours because they don't have Israeli permission to make a 5-minute trip through Ramallah.
They told me, you need permission to go to Ramallah. I said, from whom? He said, from us military. Where? They said, I don't know.
The packed van heads down a highway and then abruptly turns onto a rutted dirt road. Though the Israelis say it's illegal for Palestinian taxis to drive here, cabbies continue to run the gauntlet, and they sometimes pay the price. The soldiers have taken my keys from me 4 times, says a cabbie named Subi Abid Mustafazi. I try to give them fake car keys, but some of them know that trick, and they steal the oil cap off the engine instead. Soon after departing for Sinjal, Shaban's fifth and final taxi is stopped by several more cabs driving in the opposite direction.
What did he say?
He was not allowed to enter Sinjal. There is a tank in the front at the entrance of the village.
Shaban is upset.
I am very, very tired. I am not happy. I want to go to my home.
He finally gets out of the car about a mile from his village. On foot, Shaban crosses the busy highway from Jerusalem that only Israeli vehicles are allowed to use. It's a long climb up a steep hill to get to Shaban's house. Because of the blocked roads, Shaban knows his 2 sons, who study in the nearby town of Nablus, can't visit this weekend.
Do you see them often?
No. I don't see about 1 month, 2 months.
At 10:15 a.m., 5 taxi rides and some 3 hours and 45 minutes after leaving the hospital, Shaban is greeted at the door by his 9-year-old daughter, Naveen. Most of the family's here, including one brother who says an Israeli soldier knocked his front teeth out with a rifle butt when he was caught out after curfew. The Israeli government says it has imposed travel restrictions on the West Bank to stop the suicide bombers who've made dozens of attacks against Israeli citizens. Shaban calls this a form of collective punishment that he says discriminates against all Palestinians. After living like this for more than a year, Shaban appears to be getting desperate. I'm frustrated, he says, and if I reach the point where I can no longer work and feed my children, then maybe I will become a suicide bomber too. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Sinjal, in the West Bank.